Good morning, all. It's a pleasure to be here again. And the message this morning is a plea for discernment. And we shall look at the book of John, chapter 4. And it is an appeal for biblical knowledge, because biblical ignorance is deadly. So John is urging us, he's giving us an urgent warning. He's urging us to not believe in every spirit. In other words, he's saying, do not be naive concerning doctrinal matters. Be negative about spurious claims. At that time, in the time of John, churches, some members in the churches that John was pastor, they were prone, or they were willing to accept the claims of false teachers. And most of these false teachers, they were moved by false spirits. That's why John says, beloved, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits of whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The problem at the time of John. So why John wrote the first letter, the second, the third? He also wrote the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. What moved John to write these books? Some members of his church, they have taken on board some beliefs about the person and the work of Christ that were unacceptable. What were these beliefs? Some believed that Christ was not God. So some Jewish people, they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. So they were saying that Jesus Christ was only a man. So this is a heresy. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, you are believing in the wrong Christ. You are not saved. They were not happy. Some of them don't even have to keep it for themselves. So you had people going around saying that Jesus Christ was not God. They were going from church to church, from house to house, because at that time churches, they were in the house of the brethren. And they were spreading this false teaching that Jesus Christ was not God. Others from the Greek background of the Gentiles, they were saying the opposite. They were saying that Jesus was not man. Because in that time, the Greek culture, human flesh was evil. So God could never ever become a man. In fact, the Greek philosophers, they said that this body, this flesh, they were like a prison for our souls. So when we died, we were set free. Therefore, if you remember when Paul went to Athens, and Paul preached at the Acropolis. Many called him a babbler, a lunatic, because God could never become man, and even worse, if Christ died and rose again, that was ludicrous. It should not be risen again. You don't want to become flesh again. You don't want this body. So we had these two heresies plaguing the church in the time of John. This letter, together with the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John, they were written approximately between the years 80 to 95 AD, 30 years after Paul. So the church was well established. We had the letters from the apostles, the Gospels. And what John is saying to us, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every doctrine you hear. So these heresies, they continue throughout history. You have different heresies in the history of the church. You had Arianism. Arians said that Jesus was not God. You had people saying that the Monophysite heresy, that the natures of Christ, they were fused together. And these heresies, they persist to this day. You have the Jehovah Witnesses saying that Jesus is not God. You have the Unitarians saying that Jesus was not God. So they always attack the person of Christ. And John is saying to us, do not believe them. Do not believe everything you hear. Either from the pulpit or from the internet, try the spirits. Try the doctrines. And how do you try the doctrines? You try them against the Bible. The Bible is the ultimate judge. The standard we use for doctrine is the Holy Scriptures. So you should know your Bible. That's why the theme of the message is a plea for discernment, a plea for Bible knowledge. We must know our Bibles. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, is revealed to us in the Scriptures. John begins his letter in chapter 1 saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and with our hands we have handled the word of life. In other words, John was saying that the apostle testimony, the Gospels, they describe to us the true Jesus Christ. Because at the time of John, they were going around saying, the apostles, they were wrong. I have some secret knowledge, Gnosticism. I know some secrets, some mysteries that nobody else knows. And to this day, we have people going around claiming that they have special revelations from God. Do not believe these people. The testimony of the Scriptures, the Gospels, the Old Testament, they reveal to us who Jesus Christ is and what he had done. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Unitarians, the liberals, they deny that Christ is God, or they deny Christ's incarnation. They don't believe that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, he became one of us. So John is saying, do not believe these people. Jesus Christ has come and he has become one of us. This is the glorious doctrine of incarnation. God became like us. He emptied himself of all but love. He emptied himself and he entered in the womb of a woman. This is marvelous. This is glorious, because the infinite God, that heaven, the heavens and heavens could not contain him, he humiliated himself because he loved us and he gave himself for us. So if incarnation didn't happen, we are all lost. Our salvation depends on Christ's incarnation. And John is saying, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He touched him. He saw with his own eyes. So we must believe his testimony. In other words, we must trust the words we have in the Bible. The Bible is infallible, is inerrant, and it is sufficient for our salvation. So John tells us more accurately, he demands from us, it's a command, do not believe. He's commanding us. It is a duty for us Christians to test the spirits. We should be on our guard and test every theological claim we hear. Because the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. That's why the cults, they prosper so much. People, they want to hear not what they need to hear, but they want to hear what feels as their own passions. So if you want to have a popular church, you don't preach the scriptures, you preach what people want. But John is telling us, no, we must hear the word of God. We must trust the word of God. This is an appeal for biblical knowledge. We must spend our time in the scriptures. Every day we must read a portion of scriptures. We must feed our souls with the Bible. The same manner we should feed our bodies with food, our souls, they thirst for the Word of God. We must read the Bible every day. So who is the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures? Because John tells us in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, if you are truly saved, you believe that Jesus Christ became man. He walked among us 2,000 years ago. This is a test for yourself. If you do not trust in the Bible, if you do not believe that Jesus walked amongst us, you may question your salvation. Because John says, if you are of God, you believe that Jesus became flesh. First test of our salvation. So the heresies, there are many, but I will concentrate on two important heresies that changed, that plague the church, and they are plaguing the church in this day. First is Arianism. Arius was a pastor in the church in Alexandria. And Arius said that Jesus was not God. He began spreading his lies about the eternity or the deity of Christ and his equality with the Father. So Arius said that Jesus was not equal with the Father. He would say there was when Jesus was not. But for Arius, Jesus was a created being like us. So what the Bible tells us, that Jesus is God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You can see that in the Gospel of John, when Jesus, he has his I am sayings. There are seven I am sayings in the Gospel of John. And as we see here, this is Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. And here says, in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. So Jesus Christ, he is co-equal with God and co-eternal. So Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, he is the same substance, or he is the same as the Father. That's why Jesus, in the book of John, he says, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8. I am the door, I am the good shepherd. Why he keeps saying, I am, because in the desert, when Moses was in the presence of God, when God revealed himself to Moses, Moses asked God, who should I tell the people that you are? And God said, I am that I am. So when Jesus told the Jewish people, I am, in their heads, it clicked, he is God. In John 8:58, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore, the name of the Son of God denotes the mediator in his essential deity. So Christ is God. And he was fully man and fully God. It is a mystery for us. We don't understand how two natures abided in Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. So how could we understand? What is the correct understanding of Trinity according to the Bible? There is only one God and one only. God is one only. But this God exists eternally in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three persons, they are fully equal in every divine perfection. In other words, God is holy, Jesus Christ is holy, the Holy Spirit is holy, holy, holy. God is righteous, the Holy Spirit is righteous, Jesus Christ is righteous. God is love, Jesus Christ is love, the Holy Spirit is love. So every attribute of God, it is equal to all the persons of the Godhead. They possess alike the fullness of the divine essence. They are co-equal and co-eternal. So Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, he is God. He was not created, but he was begotten. So God the Father begets God the Son, and God the Father and God the Son, they beget the God the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, he gives us, he offered us God the Son for our salvation, but and Jesus, he elected himself of his own will to come and become one of us and live the life we could not live and die the death that we deserved. So John, he is dividing us, dividing people in two camps. You have the people of God, those who confess that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh. And then you have the people who does not confess they are not of God. Verse 3. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Those who do not believe in the message of the gospel, they belong to the Antichrist, the spirit of lie. That you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So, where do you stand this morning? Do you stand with the people of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has come in flesh? That he abode in this world? He walked among us? And if you read the Gospels, Jesus, he hungered, he slept, he was thirsty, he wept, he had human feelings. He was despised, he was rejected, even his family rejected him. Why God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, became one of us, so we could relate to him. So when you're feeling down, when you're feeling rejected by your family, and Psalm 27 says that if my mother and my father forget me, the Lord will take me up, or will help me take. Though my parents both should leave, the Lord will be uptake. So if you're feeling, if your family has rejected you, if your parents had, the Lord was rejected by his own family. His brothers hated him. In John chapter 7, read that his brothers, they didn't believe him at first. And they said, go down to the feast and preach. So his brothers want him to die, because when Jesus preached, the Sanhedrin would not accept him. He would be arrested and put on trial. So you're feeling lonely this morning. Our Lord was lonely when he cried in the Gethsemane, if be thy will, pass this cup away from me. He was lonely. On the cross, he was lonely. That's the only time when Jesus speaks to God the Father as God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So Christ shed his in our most despaired emotions. So Jesus can relate, you can relate to Christ because he suffered. He lived like a normal man. He was fully man. That's why we have the creed of the church. We have the Constantine and Sinner Creed, which says, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. So Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, this morning, do you trust the scriptures to be faithful and true? Do you believe that the 66 books we have in our hands, they are exactly what God revealed 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago in the Old Testament? Do you believe in every word of the scriptures? Even those words which you don't understand? Do you believe in it? The Bible is either absolute or obsolete. You must believe in the scriptures. There is no other ground in which we may stand. This is solid foundation. We stand or we fall in the scriptures. So I beseech you this morning, if you don't believe in the Bible, wrestle with God. We must believe in the scriptures. Do you believe that the earth, the universe, was created in 6 days? That we are not products of evolution, but we are created by God? That we are made in the image of God? We are not animals, but we are created in the image, to reflect the image of God. Do you believe that unborn babies, they are humans, they deserve to live, not to be aborted? Is your faith in the Christ of the scriptures? It's very important. We must believe the Christ of the scriptures. Why? Because if we believe in the wrong Christ, we are going to hell. It's your eternal destiny at stake here. Where are you going to spend eternity? So Christ is the key. The Christ of the Mormons, you're going to hell. If you believe in the Christ of the Jehovah Witnesses, you're not going to heaven. You must believe in the Christ of the Scriptures. There is no heaven. Either you are in Christ, either you're not in Christ. That's why John, the great divide John presents us. You are of God and you are not of God. There is no middle ground. So it's very important that we may get to know the true Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the one who became man and he offered himself in our place. Do you confess that Christ left the splendor of glory and voluntarily humiliated himself to become one of us? That all that we have in the four Gospels is a faithful account of Christ. John says to us that he wrote the Gospel of John so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. And in believing, you may have eternal life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. If you profess faith in any other Christ, you are not of God. You have not been born again. You are lost and you need to repent. Today is the day of salvation. We must not delay it. Tomorrow may be too late. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not presume on tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring." And finally, we must know where we stand. Is that your concern this morning? Are you on God's side? What are the behavior of a true Christian? John tells us. They received Christ, and now through the Holy Spirit, he and the Father abide in them. Isn't it marvelous that the whole Trinity abides in you? In John chapter 14, verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you." And he asked his disciples, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" The true Christian, he upholds the inspiration and the preservation of the scriptures, and they strive to live a life of holiness and separation from sin and wrong. So we, as the people of God, we walk contrary to the world. We live different lives. We want to please God. We want to please the Holy Spirit. We don't want to upset the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, "Be holy, for I am holy." So we must seek holiness in our daily lives. I'm not saying that you should be perfect, but I'm saying that you should seek holiness. There are only two kinds of people in the world. Only two kinds. That's what John tells us here. Ye are of God, little children, and ye have overcome them. Why? Why we are able to overcome the world? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you are truly saved, we have Jesus Christ and the Trinity abiding in you. They are bigger than the world. So we are of Christ. If you are saved, you belong to God. You are of God. But they are of the world, the other camp. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. So, when we preach the gospel, many revile us, they mock us, they despise us, because they are of the world. They don't have the Trinity abide in them. Only through the Holy Spirit you are able to believe in the Bible. There are only two kinds of people in the world. Only two kinds. Not black, not white, not rich, not poor, but those who are either dead in sin or dead to sin. Where do you stand today? Are you dead to sin, or are you dead in sin? We must belong to God. We must be with the saved camp. We must strive to be holy, strive to please God. Christ must have preeminence. Where must Christ have preeminence? In my living, in my thinking, in my time, in my language, in all things, not some things. We must be a different kind of people. We must have eternity in our eyes. We must think of eternity. We're supposed to be a different breed of people. Because one day we are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in the body. So where do you stand this morning? Are you of God? Are you believing in the Bible? Are you Do you have a true relationship with Christ in your daily life? I'm not talking about here in this the church, but how do you live in your workplace? How do you behave with your friends and your co-workers? Are you light in darkness? They are lost. Do you grieve for the state of humanity? Do you preach the gospel to your co-workers, to your family members which are not saved? Do you have this urgency in your heart to save souls from the fire, as Jude said to us? Because hell was not made for humans. The Bible tells us that hell was made for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. We must pray and we must strive and we must preach the gospel so God can save souls. Therefore, we must know the scriptures, because in knowing the scriptures we get to know the true Lord Jesus Christ, and in knowing the scriptures we must establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and we must be aware of the false doctrines and the false teachers that have gone in the world. We must not believe every spirit, and we must test. So there are two commands, one negative and one positive. Do not believe every doctrine, every teacher. Test the spirits. How are you going to test it? Doing like the people of Berea in Acts 17. Luke tells us how the Bereans behaved and should be our behavior, and I'll end with this. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That should be our behavior as people of God, searching the scriptures daily. Amen. May God bless us, and may we become Bible walking people. Read the Bible and commit to memory the scriptures. In this manner, you will not fall for lies and deceits. And there are many around today. Amen? So we sing the last hymn, Psalm 73. We will stand to sing.
Never, never.
Power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.